Welcome to Fresno's Best Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Maddox. Today we have Emily DeWise on the show. Emily is the founder of Emmy Swim School, where she gives swim and aquatic instruction. Coming from a family of aquatic instructors, Emily found her passion early and hopes to teach many kids across Fresno to learn to love swimming. With the days starting to warm up, I thought this would be a perfect conversation as we start to dream about swimming pools, lakefronts, and the beach. Let's meet Emily, and Baker will take us there.
Art music, show some respect to the best little city left in the U.S. Fresno's best. Fresno's best.
Emily, where do you like to eat in Fresno?
I would have to say Yosemite Ranch.
Oh, okay. What's your typical order there?
It's surprising, but they're sushi.
What? Really?
Yes.
Okay, explain.
They're a steakhouse, but their sushi is really great. I'm a little biased. I was the bar manager there for like 6 or 7 years, but it seems to be our go-to in general. One, it's family friendly, which yeah. I think is really good now that I have a kid. But also, it's a good vibe.
Yeah.
You know, you go.
Well,
there.
Let me ask you, because I haven't had someone that's worked in a Fansler restaurant before. What's it like to work in one of those?
It's top notch. I will say that. I think it's all about who you work with, you know, and the people above you. And I think they run a tight ship in a good way, because I feel like restaurants can get a little sketchy.
Yeah.
You know, things get a little.
There's always that one creepy waiter.
Yeah. And like, you know, things behind the scenes, the restaurant industry, you know, there's drinking always involved and things like that. And I feel like if you run tight ship, it definitely helps. And my general manager and Dave Fansler, I'm good friends with him. He's great. You know, they're both very respectable and they've treated me so well. Like you give to them, they give to you, kind of thing. So
that's fantastic. What makes for a good bartender?
Ooh, being able to put up with like having tough skin. That's probably the best way to put it.
I was at Saison recently and I was just walking to the restroom and the bartender was talking to two guys. One of them, half of his body was hanging off of his bar stool. And I overheard the bartender say to one of them, "You guys are currently at a 10. I need you to be at a 5 right now."
Right. And that's kind of my terminology too. And I think that's what my manager used to always say, like, because nothing would really offend me. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a job and, you know, you can't take things personally. It was really fun though. It was like you went and you got to just, can I say bullshit?
Of course.
Okay. You just got to bullshit all day. You know what I mean? Like, and that thrill of like a rush of when it's busy and it's, you're so busy, you can't even think straight. You know what I mean? It's kind of, it's fun. It's a good time. And I paid college without any student loans. So
that's incredible. Congratulations. I do not share that wonderful gift.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Restaurant industry is, I feel, great for college students.
Yeah, absolutely. Those kind of, those brief windows of time where you need to be there, but those tips and everything
right,
else.
Exactly. You're there a short amount of time at night when you usually don't have class, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, for sure. That's great.
So we're going to jump into swimming. Right. I have lots of kind of swimming related questions, but I was curious to hear about your family history because I know you've got family members that are also in this particular industry. Can you talk about the swimming culture of your family growing up and then your mom and then your sister's respective businesses?
Yeah. So I grew up in Kerman, California. It's about 30 minutes away from Fresno. It's a small town. Back then it was like just a farming town. And so my grandma lived out there. My grandma had 8 kids and my mom, I believe my 2 of my aunts and 1 of my uncles, they all taught swimming lessons out at my grandma's house in the summers. And then my mom did it for continuous years. And I mean, we were raised, my sister and I, at that pool every summer, you know, that's what we did Monday through Friday. And then my sister went to San Diego. My mom was a teacher. And so she just did that on the summers and then stopped. When we moved to Fresno, I went to Buchanan High School. So my freshman year. she stopped teaching swimming lessons. And then my sister, we're 9 years apart. And she went to San Diego for college and she would do it in the summers as well. And then I believe she turned it into a business full time. And she's huge in San Diego. I mean, I think she has like, don't quote me, but like 14 employees. And my mom still works for her and teaches for her to this day.
Wow.
She's going to kill me, but she's 70 years old this year. And she's a wild spirit. So she still teaches. And my sister teaches as well and runs Allie Joe's swim school. And then my aunt actually teaches in Malibu. Yeah. So
this is just your family. This is just the culture.
It's just
of your family,
like
swimming.
Runs through our veins. And
that's
so,
incredible.
Yeah. And then I decided I would do it on the summers as well. I would work at Yosemite Ranch at night. And during the day I would teach from like 8 AM till 1 PM. And then I got pregnant and I decided, you know what? I'm going to go full blown into this. I'm not going to go back to Yosemite Ranch bartending. I got my degree in psychology and then I was going to go into teaching like school. I went to the credential program and I just felt like it wasn't the right fit for me, but I knew I wanted to do something with kids. Like I wanted to do something that fulfilled me and teaching the like kiddos swim, like the way they're like elated when they learn and like the way they're so sweet and the turnaround from crying incessantly to then like not wanting to get out of the pool, like that fulfilled me. And so, and the safety part of it too, you know, like teaching kiddos that if you fall in, you how to safely return. Anyway, I'm rambling, but
yeah, no, that's a great start. Let's talk about you learning to swim. What do you remember?
Okay. Oh gosh. I remember from my mom and I was a baby when they put me in the pool at my grandma's house. And then she just put me in classes any class I wanted to be in or that was age appropriate. She would just throw me in there because back then she did like four kids at a time. I think about the safety of back then and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, you think back at things, but like it was an atmosphere. Like all the parents would just bring lawn chairs and they would stay there for hours, you know, because my mom used to do free play in between lessons. So kids would just jump in the pool, hang out, and then, okay, you got to get out. We're going to start lessons kind of thing. It was much more like loose.
Yeah. So there's a lot of different pathways to becoming a swim instructor. I know there's like various certifications that exist. Can you talk about that world for a minute?
Yeah. So I am WSI Water Safety Instructor certified and CPR certified. Those are the two things. The WSI is the most important thing because it's like a pro, and I believe it's like a two-week program. You only have to go on the weekends though, but it's all day, Saturday and Sunday. And it's pretty much just teaching you, you know, a lot of like how to hold a child in the water, you know, how to hold their body. It's that kind of thing.
Okay. What was the most surprising thing you learned from going through that training?
How much, because I was raised around it, how it's like second nature to me. Like I was like, we're learning this? This is weird. You know what I mean? But then I was like, I guess if you've never learned it, and I've had parents, like friends, I've been in the pool with them and they're holding their kids. And I'm like, you look uncomfortable, hold them this way. You know what I mean? It's like funny how it's taught.
Yeah. Is there such a thing is there a right or wrong way to swim?
I mean, no, there's not. As long as you're safe, there is no right or wrong way. There's a lot of funny things that can happen. Like I'll have one every five or six kids when they go into the pool, like say when they fall in, they have to come back to the edge. When they fall in, they'll just sink to the bottom. Mm-hmm. And it's like, science would prove otherwise, but like, I don't know if they're so.
Are they exhaling to the bottom, you think?
I don't know if I think they're so tensed up or something, but you know what? It's not because they're tensed up. Cause I had a kid who she just was like free all like, woohoo, no fear. And I had to teach her, you got to teach them to push their bodies up, you know?
Yeah.
But some kids' buoyancy is just not there.
Okay. What's your view on kickboards or hand paddles?
Kickboards, great. Teaches the kiddo, because when we teach, legs come first, then arms. You know, okay. You have to have, we say you're like a boat. That's your propeller. If that's not moving, your arms are your steering wheel. And so in order for that to move, you've got to get that propeller up. And so, yeah, kickboards are great to start. I don't start it too young because it's kind of uncomfortable for younger kids to understand it. But I mean, I'll drill with like older kids, especially if we're learning strokes, you know?
Yeah. What do you think about this thing that's very trendy now, this ISR like rollback for infants? What's your view on that? Is that useful, or is it something that's maybe just wait a year or two and then start them on traditional swim lessons?
I feel like I've seen a lot of it and I've had opinions from other people about it. This is an opinion of mine. I feel, one, it takes really long to learn. It's not like you can take a 2-week session and get real results. I think it's like 8 weeks. Not only that, it's really expensive. And then it's like I've had kids where I have to unteach them.
Oh.
Because once you get to a certain age, you're not swimming like that. Like people don't, that's not how you swim. You don't get a breath by flipping upside
Is
down.
Is that just like parents that are afraid? And so they feel like
a
if
lot
the
of
kid
parents
falls in
are
the pool.
Correct. 100%. And that's why for us, we're like, we don't start until, just due to the fact that there's not going to be a lot of results before then, but we're more so like, hey, you fall in, know your surroundings and swim back. You know what I mean? Learn to turn your body in the water and grab the edge. Because if you fall in, you're not going like very far unless someone's throwing you in. You know what I mean? But accidents happen by slipping in. And so we teach to turn around and get the edge.
Gotcha. Okay. Do you think that all parents that have a swimming pool and young children should be mandated to take swimming safety courses? Like, should that be something like, if you're installing a pool in your house and the city knows you've got a couple young kids, should you know how to have to do CPR? You know, because I know, I mean, we'll talk about drowning deaths in a second, but like, I know that that's something that happens.
I think every parent should know CPR just in general. You know, I see my child eat and I'm like, sometimes I'm like,
oh, the choking. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I feel like every parent should know CPR for their own benefit, but yeah, because you know, those gates, they're safe and that is mandated. You know, we don't have a gate because we have an automatic pool cover. So if someone falls in, it's the same thing.
I see.
But which I feel is a lot safer too, the automatic pool cover, because those gates, a kid can get in and it's even scarier, you know, when you're in that rush of trying to save a child, trying to open a gate and then run through, you know what I mean?
You're making obstacles for yourself.
Correct. Exactly. 1,000%. So yeah, I would say I believe that would be, it would be amazing if you could mandate it, but
yeah. Good luck with that. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So I read this interesting study. It said in the study, and this is a summary from the beginning of it, the abstract, it says kids who are enrolled in formal swim lessons have found to be 6 to 15 months ahead of the average population in cognitive skills, problem solving, counting, language, and following instructions. Do you think that's just more who's getting swimming lessons, or do you think that there's something about swimming lessons that challenges kids, you know, mental and cognitive capacity?
Definitely. I mean, kiddo, and it's scary, but like the fear, you know, that kids have in the beginning and having to work through that, I feel like definitely helps with their cognitive and learning skills. And we're usually, if you're starting at 18 months, we're your first form of instruction other than your parents, you know?
That's
and
a good
it's
point.
Not like, hey, sit down. It's like, hey, you're in water. They, you know, we're lifting them up to breathe. You know what I mean? There's a lot of trust that has to be between instructor and student.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about fear. So I remember being very afraid when I took swimming lessons, and I remember putting a lot of trust in the instructor. I mean, you know, what I'm saying this is, you know, I'm remembering when I was like 3 and a half. And so it's like, it's hard to like really discern. Is that just like the memory that I've created, or is that my experience? But when you're dealing with kids that are just mortally afraid, you know, understandably so, you know, it's like primal. Yeah. It's human nature to be afraid. What kind of strategies do you use?
Calm, being calm and being patient, and a lot of eye contact, I feel. A lot of holding their hands and a lot of reassurance of, hey, one, I'm never going to surprise you with something. I'm always going to tell you what we're going to do before we do it. Because regardless of what, and sometimes they'll still cry, but hey, I'm going to prepare you. And a lot of eye contact and a lot of, I will never let anything bad happen to you. I will never let anything bad happen to you. You know what I mean? Just letting them know that, like, I'm there for them, but not letting them, you know, get like, hey, we're still doing this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Get through this. Fear is information, but you don't have to always like follow its direction is kind of how I frame it. But it is, you know, I think it's that kid believing that they will be safe with you.
Correct. And that takes time. You know, we do this 2-week program where it's Monday through Thursday for 2 weeks. And this is something that my mom and my sister and my aunt and I have all stuck by because, you know, it takes time to build trust and it takes consistency and every day coming and realizing, okay, you know, they call me Miss Emmy. Miss Emmy is going to be here every day. I'm not going anywhere, you know, and we're going to be doing the same thing. And there's like a switch. And it's funny because parents are like, how did you know? But it's by the second Tuesday, there is a breakthrough. And I can't guarantee it because every kid is different. But I think I've only had maybe one or two kids that didn't. And that's because they were babies. But there's that breakthrough. And it's because they realize, okay, you know, they've had the weekend. Monday, they might be a little hesitant again. But by Tuesday, it's like, all right, let's do this.
Mm-hmm. I remember as a child going to the public pool and I ate like a granola bar and my mother made me sit at the edge of the pool for 30 minutes. Is that a myth? Is that a myth?
It is a myth. But I will say we do tell kids or tell parents, don't feed your child an hour to 2 hours prior, and not for any other reason than if they're afraid, they're working themselves up and there's lots of like, and then
vomit maybe.
Yeah. Okay. And, but not because of swimming, but more because of fear. And so then it's like, hey, we don't want that coming up kind of thing.
Gotcha. So if I'm sitting by the pool with a hot dog, you know, I don't need
just jump in.
I'm good to go. Okay.
Jump in.
Okay. Do you think that certain kinds of human bodies have different or have an easier time learning to swim versus others?
Yeah, for sure. My little chubsters are way better. There's floating. You know what I mean? Me too. I just pop right up.
Okay.
No.
So like beanpole kids, they're going to have a harder time.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because I mean, fat floats, you know, so it's a little bit easier for them to float. But you know, it's crazy. It's like every kid's different. Fearful kids, it's going to be harder because when you're tense, you sink, you know, I try to say loosey goosey, like jello, but kids don't really eat jello anymore. So I'm trying to think of other words.
Is there someone that you can remember that you didn't have success with? Like where you tried to work with a student and you just kind of hit a wall? And if so, what do you think that wall was?
So I've pretty much success comes in different variations, right? Like it's not like, oh, hey, every kid at the end of your lessons learns to swim. It's not like that, but there's always some sort of difference from the first day to the eighth day. I won't say for myself, but I have an employee, Carrington, and you know, she was having trouble with a parent or not a parent, a student. Mm-hmm. It was sibling classes, two daughters. And their parents came and, you know, she was like, I'm having trouble because this kid, she knows how to swim, but I feel like she's like not listening to anything I'm saying. And what happened was Carrington gave almost too much power to the parents. Like, is it okay that I do this? Is it okay?
I mean, I'm going to interrupt you because I was going to ask this question. Is it worse if parents are there?
I don't ever say this part. I know some schools do like say like on the first day, the parent leaves. We it's I gotta know your kid first. And so when they show up, for us, it's hey, sometimes out of sight, out of mind does help. So in the beginning, so if I'm with your kid and they're constantly looking at you, your mom, I'm never gonna be able to compete with mom. They know that you're gonna be safe. You're coming to me because more than likely you can't teach them due to the fact that they trust you too much. They don't. They're uneasy with me, so they might listen to me a little bit better. So we say we have a hiding spot. You can see them, they can't see you. And it's funny. I have a funny story where we used to say, okay, mom's gonna go. And now I just say she's gonna go to the store or something because I had a kiddo. I do twinkle, twinkle, where they have to float on their back and they sing twinkle, twinkle. And I had this cute little girl, and she wasn't, she was paying too much attention to her mom, crying. And so I said, okay, mom's gonna have to leave. And she's like laying on her back crying. And she's like, but where am I gonna sleep? I don't have a bed here. I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, no, mom's gonna come back. She's not gonna. Yeah. So
That's
we
adorable.
say, mom's going to the store and she'll be back. We promise, And it's funny because with that story I was saying, I had to get involved. And because I was like, I understand you don't feel comfortable telling the parent, like, hey, don't interrupt as much. So I got involved and I was like, hey, you gotta go. Like she knows that you're gonna, she knows you're gonna interject and be like, she doesn't like that, And I'm telling you, I'm not gonna do anything that she can't do. And, but we got to push her a little bit because she knew how to swim. She just wouldn't do anything for the teacher. She wanted to play. And if we said, hey, let's swim, it started like a crying session.
I see. What's your stance on floaties? Are they a crutch or
Oh.
are they helpful?
No, we say no floaties. I mean, this is my thing. I understand, like, one, if you've got multiple kids, you know what I mean? You're at a pool party, you can't constantly watch your child. I get it. However, one, they're a false sense of security. My best friend, she was putting her kid in floaties, and then he didn't have floaties on and he jumped into the pool because they don't associate that that's what keeps them safe. So they think, oh, I'm invincible. You know what I mean? I'm going to jump the pool and I'll pop back up. And it's not the case. And then the biggest thing for us is, they teach a kid to swim vertical. You're up and down, and that's not how you swim. And so it is extremely hard to get them horizontal. Like I can tell, I'm like, oh, did your kid have floaties? Because they're almost like running man when they start swimming. And it's like, hey, let's get those kickers out, like get those feet popped up.
Okay. We're going to take a little break from this and move to a section I call underrated versus overrated. I'm going to throw a bunch of things at you. Tell me whether you think they're under or overrated and why.
Okay.
Okay. So the first, Mened's Pizza, under or overrated?
Oh, underrated. Their ranch, I don't know why it's not bottled and sold in stores. My cousin lives in Malibu and she's like, this is the best thing I've ever had.
Oh my God,
Like,
that's
yeah.
hilarious. Yeah, no, my wife for sure orders a lot of ranch. I'm probably embarrassing her right now. And then keep some of it in the fridge just in case there is some like leftover pizza or something it can be used
Oh, we
for.
made homemade pizza and my boyfriend went to me and Ed's just for one ranch for me because he was like, I know you want
That's
it.
hilarious. Okay, next one, the breast stroke. Good, bad, somewhere in between, useful, not useful.
Underrated. It's an extremely calming stroke that is doesn't exert a lot of energy. You can go at your own pace with it, and it's really good to swim with because it calms you down.
So it's useful if you're an adult that doesn't know how to do it to learn how to do it, you think?
If and when I have taught adults, I start with breaststroke.
Fantastic.
I don't
Next one,
start.
gotcha. Next one, cold plunges.
Oh, my boyfriend loves them. Overrated though. Like I can't imagine. Our pool is heated to 90 degrees. I will not get in.
That's awesome. Next one, water caps.
Like swim caps.
Swim caps, yeah.
Underrated. You won't catch me dead in one, but underrated because hair is a huge issue with swimming lessons. I mean, the wiping, I do clips for boys, girls, anything to keep that hair out of the way when you're teaching is a big thing. So underrated.
Gotcha. Another stroke, the backstroke.
That's my favorite stroke. Okay. Underrated for the purpose of breathing as well. Swimming can be extremely hard and breathing is a huge part of it. And it allows you to catch your breath for a little bit.
So you don't ever, in the backstroke, your mouth is always exposed to, to the air. Okay.
Except when you're taking off, you're underwater.
Okay. Next one. This is an either or. Saltwater pool or chlorinated pool?
You know, I'm not super educated on this. We still have a chlorinated pool. My mom, where she teaches, she has half salt water. You can't do full salt water if you're teaching swim lessons because just you need a little bit of chemicals to kill off any bacteria that's in there.
Gotcha. That makes sense. And also, I don't know. I don't know if I've opened my eyes in a salt water pool.
I have. Not bad. And honestly, really good for the hair, though. I wish.
That makes sense.
Because chlorine will just kill it.
Gotcha. All right. Next one. Island water park.
I used to work at Wild Waters. That's funny. Island water park, overrated. No shade.
Yeah.
None.
Hot. It's hot. Middle of summer, all those bodies. Oof.
Yeah.
I can't even think about it. Using goggles in the pool. Is that under or overrated?
It's in the middle. I can't say
properly rated, I guess.
Properly rated because, I mean, after a while of swimming, my eyes sometimes get annoyed too. However, we never start with them. You have to learn to swim without them first. So they're not.
Why is that?
Because I don't want them to be a crutch for kids. So say you fall into the pool. I don't want you to be like, I don't have my goggles. I have to keep my eyes closed. If you know, oh, I can swim without goggles. Then when you're more advanced, of course, like let's use them for fun things. You know what I mean? But sometimes they're overrated because when we're diving, like kids are all constantly fixing them. It's like, we don't have time for this, you know, throw them off and let's just swim.
Okay. Next one. Something that my wife and I have different opinions on. Speedos.
Overrated. No, we don't need a Speedo.
Sometimes kids will show up in like board shorts. I mean, does that get in the way of them swimming effectively?
Honestly, no. The one thing that does sometimes is rash guards.
Oh.
Because a lot of like kids' rash guards aren't tight enough. Really, it's like swimming with a shirt on. And it can get everywhere. I've got to constantly pull them down. So the tighter, the better. I'll say that.
Okay. One-piece bathing suits.
Yeah. That's underrated. Yeah, for sure.
That's the way to go?
It's the way to go. Yeah. Because, you know, you're jumping in, you're doing things, pulling down. I've had kids like try to pull while they're swimming. It's like, it's a distraction.
I mean, I feel like they're also like, much more, there's a lot more like fashion options these days for one piece bathing suits. Am I wrong? I mean, I'm not well versed in the world of like women's swimsuits, but you know, it
seems if we're going adults, 100% one piece for sure. Yeah. I mean, one piece in general, I was wearing a two piece and I was wakeboarding and the bottoms completely came off. I'll never do that again. Yeah. You know?
Okay, a couple more either ors. And one of these we kind of already covered, but we'll jump back in. Snorkeling or free diving?
Oh, wait, what do you mean by free diving?
Just no mask, no nothing, just goggles.
Oh, just goggles. I feel a snorkeling for me, it's underrated. It's hard to like breathe because you're breathing through your mouth. I don't know. It's just weird. Because what's funny is with swimming, it's the opposite of how you normally breathe. You breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth. Swimming, you breathe in through your mouth, out through your nose.
I see. Okay.
Deep breath in and then blow the bubbles out.
Okay. This is one we kind of covered, but I'm curious. A pool alarm or a pool fence?
Pool alarm.
Okay.
For sure. The fence, we talked about that. Yeah. If a kid does get in, it's hard to imagine getting that gate open and getting to them kind of thing. Plus, it's not cute. I want to see the pool.
Exactly. A day at the beach or a day at the lake?
I'm going to go lake because I love like wake surfing and I love a good boat and
wake surfing or wakeboarding?
I like wake surfing.
Okay. So
I think it's easier.
Yeah, sell me.
It's I don't know. I feel like it's easier. You're not strapped in. I feel like it's easier to get up. You don't have that heavy board. I don't know. When I tried both, it just seemed easier for me. And then also with the lake, the sand everywhere, it's not as much.
The sand gets in everything.
Oh,
It
this
really
thing's
does.
like it's everywhere. I don't know how.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of your programming that you do at your swim school. Can you talk about how your program differs from other swim programs?
Yeah. So a lot of other programs are like a not a summer camp, but the duration is all summer. And a lot of them are like once a week or twice a week. And the parents usually get to choose what days they want to come. And granted, that's great for scheduling wise for parents. Ours is we call it like an intensive 2 week program. So it's Monday through Thursday for 2 weeks. We call those sessions. You're more than likely to sign up for every session in the summer, but we're about results. So we want you from the first day to the last day, we want to see a big difference. And so consistently coming every day at the same time, either whether you're in a group class, which is only two kids per class, whether you're with the same student or in a private lesson, you have the same instructor at the same time every day. You know what to expect, and you don't lose that knowledge. When you're going once a week, that fear can creep in again, or like, wait, what did we learn? I feel like a lot of it is like catch up.
Yeah. Well, it's like exposure therapy too. Like if you,
Right.
the idea is that you do it enough where it becomes rote or just normal, and then
Correct.
the fear goes away. So couldn't agree more. Who decides whether someone needs a private lesson? Is it you or the parent or both?
It's a parent. They'll ask me my opinion. And it honestly depends on the student. I mean, if it's an older student who knows how to swim,
Yeah.
then for sure do a private. If you can, like, obviously that depends on finances and everything like that. But for the most part, parents think that private's like, oh, you're getting more, because obviously you are, you're getting more time with, and it's by yourself. However, like, it can be a lot scarier when you're just one-on-one with an adult.
Because
If
you have to
there's another,
perform for the adult effectively, and there's no one else for
oh,
the adult to
sure.
pay attention to.
Yes. And then also, like, when you have another kid there, it's like that's your support buddy. You know what I mean? And it can help too if that other kiddo isn't afraid, because kids thrive off of each other.
Yeah.
And also the biggest thing I've ever seen is like when like a kid's like not doing that well, and then I'll have two kids race, and the competition, like the skills that come out from a race, is like, oh, so you do know kickers and arms. Like, that's crazy. But competition is instilled in kids. So it definitely, I think group is just better, in my opinion. I always say, like, hey, if you want more time, just do two group sessions. It's
There you
pretty much
go.
the same pricing, and you're getting more time and a longer period. But yeah, I would say that.
Let's before we close with book, let's talk about a few Fresno questions that I had. What's your kind of perspective on the swim culture in Fresno? And like, the people that are coming to you to get swim lessons, what do you notice about swimming in Fresno?
Well, I feel like there's a pool in almost every backyard. I
Yeah.
feel like swimming is huge in Fresno because it's so hot here.
Yeah.
It's like, what else are you gonna do during the summer? It's a big culture here. I also feel like Fresno is a little more than, say, other big cities, that because I've taught in San Diego for my sister. The parents are more trusting of the instructor. Like, they allow you to do your thing.
There's fewer helicopter parents here, which is not, I wouldn't assume that necessarily, but it does make sense.
They're a
If
little
you're a
more,
contrast to San Diego, that does make sense to me. Yeah. So.
It feels like parents aren't questioning you as much here.
If you were in charge, would you make swimming instruction mandated in Fresno Unified? So there's other countries where they have to have swimming lessons. So like large parts of Europe, it's part of their curriculum in PE. Do you think it's something that every kid should have to learn how to do?
Yeah, for sure. Because, and I think at a young age, because the later in life you teach, It's a lot harder. There's a lot more fear that instills in them, and it's a lot harder to break. And then it's a lot harder to teach. You know, if I have a 13-year-old girl who's terrified of the water, I can't physically make her do anything, you know? And so she's got to get up the courage to do it herself, you know? And it's more so of a mind teaching than it is like physically teaching her. So the younger, the better.
I ask this question to everybody, and I'll explain a little bit. So I think whatever we choose to do with our life, it gives us a particular perspective and a lens through how we see a city. So like I work, my background is in education. And so I tend to look at the city and think about problems and solutions through an education lens. How has what you do, with your swimming school affected the way you see Fresno?
I feel like it has affected me in a good way. It's a community here, you know? Like I have a huge following now of like firefighter moms, you know, one recommends the other, you know what I mean? And you get this like sense of, 'cause Fresno is big, but it's not. You know, like you go somewhere. I used to work at Yosemite Ranch and I would have a little kid come up, "Miss Emmy?" You know, and it's like you feel a sense of like closeness.
Especially working with other people's kids and helping
Yeah.
them overcome fears.
Oh yeah, it's very rewarding.
Let's close with books. What are a few books you'd recommend to listeners?
I feel like this one's very popular, but it's so good. The Silent Patient.
Oh yeah, I've seen that one. Yeah.
Oh
Why do you
yeah.
like it?
It's amazing. I remember reading and thinking, "Oh my gosh." And then right now I'm reading a book called The Devils Are Here.
Okay.
It's really good. It has to do kind of with the Holocaust a little bit, but now it's a good one. I'm all about a mystery kind of twister, like what's going to happen next kind of book.
Fantastic. So where can people find out about your school and how can they register and sign up and what other information would you like to pass on to listeners?
So the best way to do is go to emmyswimschool.com. And there's a registration form there that you fill out and it gets sent to me and I will email you back. Also, you can check out the Instagram. That's a big one because it shows, you know, in a sense, testimonials, how we teach, and it shows that we built a brand new pool too. So
I've been
that's our
looking
big.
at it. It looks very beautiful.
I know it's, and we, hey, we started in January and it's already ready to go. We got it done pretty fast, but it's funny because a lot of people want to travel lessons where we go to them. And the main thing that I try to tell them is, hey, I understand the convenience of being in your own home. However, like we've built this pool specifically to teach, you know,
What about the
depth-wise.
pool makes it good for teaching?
Rectangle, no rocks. We made sure that our coping is good for little hands to hold. You know what I mean? There's all these little things that you put factors in. Heating is the biggest one. We heat our pool. I mean, I don't want to get into a cold pool, and a scared kid sure as heck doesn't. You
Yeah,
know,
it
like
just
that,
adds to it. It adds
it
to it.
just adds exactly. So, like, if it's a nice, inviting, warm pool, it's a lot easier to teach the kiddos. But the main thing, what I like, a lot of people have these fancy pools with rocks and all these like sand beach areas, you know, and it's like that does not work well for teaching at all.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on. And, I think all of us need to learn how to swim. And I think
Yeah.
starting in a good place is really important for your long term. And swimming's fun. It's one of my favorite things to do, especially when it's hot. And I really appreciate the work that you're doing in your swimming school.
Thank you. And I hope we get across that, like, it's a family tradition here. And like, we take pride in the fact that we're teaching your kiddos. And, you know, it's only myself and one other employee. And that's because I want to make sure that we are qualified to teach your kids, you know, like, I want you to trust us.
Fantastic. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can support this podcast by leaving us a rating and review or by making a financial contribution at our Patreon page, which is www.patreon.com/Fresno's Best. We'll see you next time.